Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Speaking for the Planet, a series of powerful ideas and opinions from the young minds in Otatahi. This year's theme is Our Ocean, Our Future, Our Responsibility, brought to you by Sustainable Otatahi Christchurch and the New Zealand Association for Environmental Education, with support from Environmental Canterbury. You're listening to Year 7 Prepared Speeches. First up, we've got Audrey Logan, Mount Pleasant School.
Hi. Brr, it's cold outside today, isn't it? Well, today I'm taking you back to February the 7th, 1973, the hottest day in New Zealand. You're sitting in Rangiora and it's 42.4 degrees. Fancy trip to the beach? Okay, now imagine it rising in 10 degree increments and you have no air conditioning. That's pretty hot. If that's not bad enough, every degree that rises, oxygen disappears. Do you think you could live with that? Well, that's what's going to happen to the fish if we don't do something. You might think, when you jump into the sea, that it's freezing and a nice way to refresh yourself. However, our cold-blooded creatures think differently. It's more like a marine heatwave. Currently, the rising temperature of the ocean is causing fish to suffer from heat, displacement, and loss of oxygen. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about how ocean warming impacts marine life and humans, why the ocean is getting warmer, and what you can do to help. Currently, the average sea temperature in Christchurch is 12.6 degrees. It is predicted it will rise 0.13 degrees a decade, which may not sound that bad, but soon, for marine life, it will feel almost unlivable. Even small rises in temperature impact marine animals' food, homes, and even you. Over the past 70 years, the sea has warmed 0.11 degrees. That sounds minuscule, but it's been enough to seriously change things around here for both fish and us. These changes have included expansion of the ocean, intensified hurricanes and storms, loss of homes and food for marine life and humans. So what causes ocean warming? Well, the main cause of ocean warming is man-made greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which get trapped within the Earth's high climate and is then absorbed by the ocean. In fact, 90% of the excess heat generated from climate change is stored in the ocean. Another cause of ocean warming and destruction of fish habitats is bottom trawling, where a giant net weighed down by a big metal bar plows along the bottom of the ocean, destroying anything in its path. This horrible method of fishing contributes to ocean warming by releasing excess carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. What can you do to help? Firstly, ride your bike more and stretch those legs. Or do any of these fish ring a bell? Hoki, orange roughy, snapper, cod. These fish are all bottom trawled. So next time you decide you're going to have fish and chips for dinner, look at what types of species are on offer. Because if you stop eating bottom trawled fish, maybe it will slow down this industry, which could prevent excess carbon dioxide being released into the atmosphere. This won't stop ocean warming alone, but it will promote a healthier and more resilient marine ecosystem. Thank you.
Next up, Amaya Harish, OLV.
When was the last time you truly understood what lies beneath the surface of our endangered oceans? Let's face it, we all know that these fantasy stories of those shimmering crystal waves are not the reality we are living in right now. Well, by the end of this speech, you will know every detail to make all those stories come true. I mean, don't you want to look back and think? It was just because I did my little part to save those vulnerable oceans and all the marine life in them? Well, today, I am going to tell you about deep sea mining, overfishing, and lastly, about how climate change affects marine life. Overfishing is a significant danger to marine ecosystems. Approximately 34% of global fish stocks are being named as overfished, which in general is a very disastrous state for our beloved ocean. Year by year, the global fish stocks are decreasing by over a third. Research shows that most probably by 2048, there will be very few fish in our vast oceans, which is something we all probably want to avoid, right? And the main problem in these situations is that people are catching fish more than fish can produce. That is why we need to stop this catastrophic issue now. Deep sea mining is also a huge threat to our oceans. The concept of deep sea mining is extracting precious minerals from the ocean floor, especially in depths that are exquisitely fragile and unique places of the oceans. It is a relatively new thing that has been happening constantly, which is tearing apart our ocean floors. The reason why people go for deep sea mining is that the minerals that they collect from the ocean floor are most commonly used in the electric vehicles and renewable technologies. Climate change is a drastic danger to our marine life too. The reason behind this problem is mostly from human activities, such as burning oil, coal, and gas, which releases heat-trapping gases out into the atmosphere. Try to avoid using your car as much as possible, because whenever you do use your car, more fuel will start to burn and make life miserable for our friends in the ocean. From the smallest plankton breathing life into our atmosphere to the majestic whales, ocean biodiversity is not just an ocean. It is the very pulse of our planet. We've explored its breathtaking wonders, the urgent threats it faces, and how it takes root. The good news is it's not too late. Each one of us, through our daily choices, whether it's choosing sustainable seafood or simply speaking up, has the power to become a guardian of this incredible underwater world.
Next up, Harmony Makuba Jordans, Shirley Intermediate.
We need to stop overfishing. Sharks, rays, and chimeras make up nearly half of the recognized diversity of all cartilaginous fishes. They are special beings who can bend what some call them their bones, the cartilage. Have you ever tried wiggling the front of your nose? It's made of cartilage. Feels strange, right? Overfishing is treated like no one knows about it. Sharks that are caught, instead of being put back in the water, are processed and illegally sold, resulting in millions of dead sharks. The fishing companies really need to get a hold on what they fish, the amount they fish, and where they fish. Sharks and rays need to be treated like intelligent beings and not things to be afraid of or ragdolls with no brain. Have you ever wanted a rare shark as a pet? It will not happen. They'll die and it will be our fault. Our growing impact on the deep sea raises the threat level to these species so much. Endangered species wild fauna and flora have yet to see a listing proposal for a deep sea shark or ray. Sharks and rays are in crisis, with over one-third of all population pushed towards extinction by overfishing. WWF and traffic have joined forces to stop the decline. Rays' mouth shapes are positioned in smile or frown, depending on how you're looking at it, so they can't smile or frown, depending on how you're looking at it. We should stop hunting, processing, and overfishing these special animals. Their potential for recovery from overexploitation is much reduced due to their long lifespans and low fecundity, or some people call it fertility. We know many shark populations around the world are in trouble. We can help save these animals by engaging communities and the public. Many experts say the way that to solving overfishing is by having people that live near sharks come up and have a talk about what is happening. We need to make an impact. These are our oceans. This is why I am vegetarian, and this is how we are going to lose our oceans. It hurts to see this happen. Thank you.
Next up, James Cummins, Heaton Intermediate.
My name's James, and I'm from Heaton Intermediate. Seabed mining is the process of extracting valuable minerals and metals from the seabed, such as iron sand, vanadium, and titanium. These minerals are used all over the world for things like batteries and space technology. Have you noticed that the New Zealand government is allowing seabed mining into New Zealand with a new fast-track approvals process? Trans-Tasman Resources, or TTR, are a seabed mining company who have applied for a permit under this new fast-track process off the coast of Taranaki. This means that companies don't need a resource consent or consult with affected communities. TTR proposed to mine 50 million tonnes of material per year for 35 years. The 350-tonne mining machines pump sand up a pipe into a processing ship at the surface to separate out the minerals. They smother sensitive environments when they return the sediment and mud back into the ocean. NIWA believed that these sediment clouds could travel 20 kilometres and flow back towards Whanganui. Scientists are unclear about how long it will take for these environments to recover. Seabed mining machines create noise and vibration, which will harm marine animals, such as the rare pygmy blue whale and critically endangered Maui dolphin, who rely on sound for navigation, feeding and communication. Across the world, other countries are debating ocean mining projects. In 2022, the Cook Islands granted permits to three companies for exploration. These operations are different to the Taranaki proposal because they are much deeper, at close to 5,000 metres deep. Donald Trump's US government last month issued an executive order to allow seabed mining in international waters. There is a global storm brewing between the world's superpowers, all vying for minerals that will benefit them. But for now, the world is watching New Zealand. We need to make New Zealand governments take notice of our ocean, because this issue will affect both our lives and all marine life. To make the government ban seabed mining, we can write letters with pictures we've taken of the damage being done. We can also support organisations like Greenpeace and New Zealand Forest and Bird, who speak against seabed mining. To quote Sir David Attenborough, if we save the seas, we save the world. Thank you for listening.
Next up, Charlie Thomas, Taitapu.
Once upon a time, incredible species like sea cows, dodos and Tasmanian tigers existed. Now they don't. Why is that? Studies show that up to 260,000 species of animals and plants have become extinct in only 500 years or so. These include dinosaurs, mammals, birds, and so much more. But I'm not here to talk about life on land. The theme of Speaking for the Planet is making waves, and I'd like to contemplate the drastic issue of biodiversity loss in our oceans. 8 to 10 million metric tons of rubbish go into the ocean each year. That's the weight of the Eiffel Tower, 400 times. 1 million seabirds and 100,000 marine mammals die each year due to plastic. Plastic also interferes with the food chain. No one can save the entire ocean, though, but we can all do our part by making little changes. Changes like saying no to single-use plastics like straws, plastic bags and water bottles, buying in bulk and making sure you properly dispose of recyclable products. Other types of pollution are also devastating. Oil spills, chemical pollution, overfishing, habitat destruction, climate change, the list goes on. A big part of pollution in our oceans is climate change, largely due to greenhouse gas emissions. One cow produces 98 kilograms of methane per year, which is a greenhouse gas. These dangerous emissions destroy the ozone layer, raising the sea levels, which disrupts habitats and coastal ecosystems. Ways to combat this is by reducing your carbon footprint, which means to drive less, use public transport, walk and bike, buy sustainable seafood and conserve water. My last topic is about plants. Plant life is just as important as animal life and is also threatened. Most scientists agree that 99.9% of all species that have lived on planet Earth are now extinct. Plastic, oil spills, food chain interference and all the things that can affect animals can also affect the marine plants, whether seaweed or vital phytoplankton. Swimmers can break coral, sunscreen releases harmful chemicals into the water, and all underwater plants are threatened by invasive species and habitat destruction. Solutions to these problems are, once again, reducing plastic waste, buying sustainable seafood, and conserving water. British environmental advocate, explorer, and historian Roger Swan once said that the greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else will save it. As I said earlier, no one can save the entire ocean, but we can all do our part by doing a little thing like walking to work or not buying plastic straws. Otherwise, I hope you can swim.
Next up, Zoe Brett, Mount Pleasant School.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Zoe, and I'm from Mount Pleasant School, and I guess I'll start my speech. Dr. Sylvia Earle is a renowned US marine scientist. She has spent her entire life dedicated to working, exploring, and campaigning to save the oceans. She is nearly 90 and still going strong. Her most famous quote was, "If we can't take care of our oceans, then nothing else really matters." And at first I thought, what a drama queen. Well, that was until I did some more research. And my research has really shocked me, particularly when I looked into the world of commercial fishing. Or should I say, overfishing. Imagine, a giant bulldozer comes to your village, where you live, and knocks down every tree and habitat in its way, just to get one certain type of plant, chucking out everything else. Does that sound horrible to you? Does that sound wasteful? Because that's what's happening in our oceans every day. Bottom trawling is when fishermen, commercial, 90% of the time, drop big, weighted nets down from their boats. The nets are dropped onto the seabed and dragged along for miles. The seafloor and vital habitats that stand in its way are ripped up. These nets bring up huge amounts of fish and other marine life. The fishermen do not care what they dredge up. They can't even tell if these marine animals are mature. When the fishermen have taken what they want, they simply brush the rest off the boat, back into the ocean, dead or dying. Imagine how terrible this is in the marine ecosystem. But now, let's focus on New Zealand's fishing problems. Seafood NZ says, our fisheries have great and sustainable fishing ways, and only 11% of the waters around New Zealand are bottom trawling fish. Yeah, right. Dr. Simon Thrash, Professor of Marine Science, Auckland University, says that huge commercial boats can have nets up to hundreds of metres long and can fit a thing as big as a Boeing 737. He also states that 75% of global fisheries are now fished at or beyond capacity. Not good. But New Zealand is taking action on this severe problem. The NZ government have been setting strict limits on how many kinds of fish can be caught each year, and in marine reserves like Akaroa and the coast, people can't fish at all, which is a very good start. But what else can we do? That's when I had an idea. I think we should set up security cameras on every commercial fishing boat funded by the government, so that we have more power than just a couple words on a sign. If someone's fishing unethically, alert the government about it and will press charges. Now, overfishing is a big problem, but normal people, like us kids, need to be aware and take action. It is clear to me now that Dr. Sylvia Earle was absolutely correct. I mean, really, what matters if we can't take care of our oceans? I'll leave you with this thought. The sea doesn't have infinite resources, so why do we keep on taking from it, like it does? Thank you for listening.
Next up, Serena George, OLV.
Close your eyes and envision a world stripped bare of the rhythmic roar of the waves or the refreshing mist of our ocean. Our beautiful seas provide us with so much. Food, climate regulation, a sense of wonder that connects us all. But in return, we fill our majestic seas with 12.7 tons of plastic annually. Quite the gift, am I right? Well, today, I stand before you, not just as a concerned child, but as an advocate for all the helpless marine life silenced by pollution, ocean warming, and overfishing. Speaking for and protecting our seas means taking care of our climate, our future, and our very survival. It's time we listened, and it is sure time we acted. Our oceans are, let's just say, drowning in crisis. Pollution, especially plastic waste, is suffocating marine life and devastating entire ecosystems. Overfishing is driving species to the brink, and climate change is making everything worse by heating our seas and destroying vital habitats. This crisis is affecting our weather, our food, and the very health of our dear planet. We can't afford to wait. We must act now, because imagine this, the oceans have turned against us. No waves, no life, just miles and miles of decomposing plastic waste as far as the eye can see. The fish, gone. The whales, history. Their voices, erased like they never once existed. Entire cities have been swallowed and now are floating cities of garbage. The air is thin, but heavy, for plankton has vanished along with the once crystal clear waters. Our oceans are begging for help, but are we listening? Reject single-use plastics, say no to reduce your carbon footprint, and choose sustainable seafood. The sea can't speak up for itself, but we can. Every little voice matters, and when we choose to speak up, we bring hope to our oceans. Let's leave today with a promise to protect, to act, and to care. The future of our seas lies in our hands. Making waves means making life. Remember, there is no planet B. So step by step, hand in hand, I believe we can, no, we must change the world.
And finally, Emily Gray, Heaton Intermediate.
The plastic in our ocean doesn't just look bad. Plastic waste entering our ocean harms marine life, contaminates the food chain, and affects human health. Over 1 million marine animals are killed or affected by plastic pollution. Approximately 78% of marine mammals are at risk of choking on thin plastic, especially plastic bags. While a precise count is difficult, plastic debris affects many more animals through indigestion and poisoning, even if they don't die immediately. Did you know that 7 to 13 million tons of plastic ends up in our ocean every year? I remember a time when I saw a seagull caught in plastic. As I was going over to help, the seagull flew away, so I wasn't able to help, but we were able to clean up the beach. We filled over 3 big bags full of rubbish, which is a crazy amount of plastic. This is so sad that our laziness is killing marine animals. This plastic we just leave behind after a picnic or let blow in the wind is killing marine life by the second. Plastic absorbs and bioilluminate toxic chemicals, which can then enter the food chain, harm marine animals and humans, us. The New Zealand government has banned the sale of wash-off products containing microbeads and the distribution of some types of plastic bags. The government also funds waste minimisation initiatives and encourages businesses to take responsibility for their products through stewardship systems. More ways we can help by saying no to plastic. Stop buying cheap plastic rubbish like one-use toys or trashy crafty stuff that just ends up in the oceans. If you stop buying them, the companies stop making a profit, and less rubbish will be made in the first place. Addressing these issues requires a collective effort from the government, businesses, and individuals to protect the ocean and ensure a sustainable future. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Speaking for the Planet. This episode is a part of a thought-provoking series supported by Plains Media. head to plains.org.nz and search for Speaking for the Planet to listen to the rest.